This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Greater Cincinnati healthcare institutions have a higher level of job vacancies than they've experienced in the last 15 years. Why is that, and which job types have the most openings? Joining me to discuss those questions and many others are Healthcare Collaborative Workforce Innovations Director Hope Arthur. Welcome, Hope. Health Collaborative Senior Manager for Business Intelligence, Jason Bubenhofer. Thanks for being here, Jason.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And Vice President and Chief Nursing Officer at the Christ Hospital, Julie Holt. Welcome, Julie.
Thanks, Lucy. Glad to be here.
The Christ Hospital is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio, and I'd like to point out that Julie is here to speak for all the chief nursing officers who took part in this survey, not strictly for Christ. If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Jason, I'd like to start with you. Tell us a bit more about this survey. How many healthcare providers were involved, and how many unfilled jobs are we talking about?
Certainly. So in total, we had seven major healthcare providers participate in this survey. Five of those health systems are within or near the urban core of Greater Cincinnati, those being the Christ Hospital Health Network, Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, St. Elizabeth Healthcare, TriHealth, and UC Health. Additionally, we had two rural health systems participate with Clinton Memorial Hospital up in Wilmington, Ohio, and Margaret Mary Health out in Batesville, Indiana, joining the survey. Now, across these health systems, when you add up their total employee headcount, collective employees, they employ right around 50,000 employees in total in our region. And the total number of unfilled jobs within just those seven health systems is just shy of 6,000 jobs. And that results in about a 10.5% vacancy rate for these combined health systems. Now, I want to reiterate that these 6,000 job openings are just strictly for these seven employers. The total regional number of unfilled jobs is going to be much higher when you factor in other healthcare facilities in our area, facilities such as skilled nursing, long-term care, independent physician, or ambulatory care groups. We don't have data for those facilities, but anecdotally, we do know that they are definitely struggling just as much with workforce and staffing challenges in the current labor market as the seven that participated in the survey.
And Hope, how does this compare to past years? Has the region seen this level of healthcare job vacancy before?
The short answer is, in the last 15 years that we've been conducting the survey, no. We've never seen this much widespread healthcare job vacancy challenges like we're experiencing now. The long answer is a bit more complex, and I'd like to let Jason give you a little bit more context around that, if that's okay.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely. The long answer here in the context is that in a typical year with a healthy labor environment in healthcare, our region usually hovers around a 5% vacancy rate. Now, first things first, there are always going to be healthcare job openings. There are always going to be nursing openings. There's always going to be openings across a vast spectrum of healthcare fields. That's to be expected. And a 5% vacancy number sort of represents an optimal balance for the market. That's a type of scenario where there's some openings, but they can be easily managed operationally by the health systems. Think of it as a business as usual type of situation. On the flip side, when we're at that 5% threshold, we also have plenty of opportunities for new workers to enter the healthcare workforce. So if you're a new grad from school looking into getting into healthcare as a career, or if you're an existing healthcare worker looking to upskill, there's opportunities that exist, you know, when the threshold and vacancy rate's at 5%. Sort of a long-winded way of saying 5% is where we want to target. Now, let's compare that 5% target with where we are today, which is 10.5%. Prior to this survey year, our previous record high vacancy rate in the last 15 years was 6.6%. This means this jump up to 10.5% is very, very significant. And when we dig down into individual job titles, we have widespread shortages. Every year, just to give you an example here, we typically survey about 50 to 60 job titles in our survey. This year, we had 28 unique job titles with vacancy rates of 8% or higher. In fact, 21 of those job titles had vacancy rates of 10% or higher. In a typical year, we may only have two or three job titles with vacancy rates exceeding 10%, certainly not 21 different job titles. And this includes registered nurses, where we're at a 13.9% vacancy rate, and that's the highest it's been since 2003. So overall, the staffing and workforce challenges right now are truly unprecedented for our region.
Mm. Hope, what do you think's driving this dynamic? I mean, surely the pandemic's playing a role, but what are some of the other factors?
Absolutely, Lucy. While the pandemic has accelerated healthcare's growing workforce shortages, it didn't cause it, you're right. This has been coming for decades, couple of decades. There simply aren't enough people today to fill all the available jobs across all the industries. So now the competition for talent is fierce, and employers are having to compete for talent in much different and more aggressive ways than ever before in order to attract the talent that they need to operate. There's a great report out there that MC published last year called The Demographic Drought, and it spotlights many different factors that have fed into the current workforce shortage, including three pre-COVID conditions in particular that have been exacerbated by the pandemic. The first is the mass exodus of the baby boomers from the labor market. This has been coming for years. This is the largest generation in history who still fills millions of roles in our economy. However, now they're starting to retire in a dramatic numbers. And their loss from the workforce is really important, not just due to the sheer numbers, but it also represents a loss of decades of invaluable experiences that will be extremely hard for employers to replace. Second, we've got record low labor participation rates for prime age Americans, meaning that thousands of Americans have voluntarily opted out of looking for traditional work. This includes individuals impacted by the opioid crisis, drug addiction, incarceration. Men especially have been disappearing from the workforce since the 1980s. And we have a growing number of people pursuing really flexible work opportunities through the gig economy, such as with apps like Upshift, Uber, or Grubhub. All this to say simply that the children and grandchildren of the boomers are not entering the workplace in numbers to replace the boomers as they leave. And third, we have the lowest birth rates in history. The national birth rate hit a 35-year low in 2019, and the relative size of our working age population has been shrinking since 2008. I'll add that there's a lot of intricacies contributing to workforce shortages in specific careers. For example, one of the challenges that we've been identifying and working to improve for nursing is the fact that currently our regional nursing schools just don't have enough capacity to accept all the qualified applicants who apply to their programs each year. This means they're turning away great candidates from pursuing this in-demand, highly sought-after, high-paying healthcare career that our employers just need so desperately. So we're working with them to deeply understand all their challenges that are involved and partnering to help solve them. And the solutions include things like finding more qualified instructors and clinical sites, and even finding funding to help build out and equip the additional labs that they need to allow them to increase the number of future nurses that they prepare. Julie, it's complex.
Yeah. Julie, can you help us put this in tangible terms? What does a 10% job vacancy rate mean for people who are seeking or receiving health care?
Sure. Yeah. It's really complex. I mean, we are all currently still open for business, and we do our best every day to meet the needs of our patients. But there are consequences to this labor shortage. Things like an increased number of temporary labor or temporary personnel in our organizations, which, you know, come to us not knowing that institutional knowledge. They're licensed caregivers, but they don't know all the things that our normal employees may know in our processes and those types of things. Also, you know, possibly longer wait times, maybe less attention to personal needs. We'll always make sure we get the most important things done for patients. But those things that we like to do as caregivers, sometimes we have to hold off on if we don't have the number of people that we need. And in severe cases, like during the peak of COVID, there were some periods of time when many organizations throughout our region had to delay some of their elective cases. There may be shortening of office hours or things like that due to the lack of employees. I do want to make one point, though, that I think is really important. During the beginning of the pandemic, we saw a lot of people not seek care because of COVID. That's not good. And so I just want to encourage everyone, if you're sick and you need care, please go and get it. Because we don't want anyone to get more sick and then have greater demands, both, you know, for their own health and for the system.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about how Greater Cincinnati's healthcare institutions are seeing a higher level of job vacancies with Health Collaborative Workforce Innovations Director Hope Arter for Business Intelligence Jason Bubenhofer and Vice President and Chief Nursing Officer at the Christ Hospital Julie Holt. Jason, are there specific jobs within the healthcare industry where the vacancies are most pronounced? And if so, why do you think those jobs are having the most vacancies?
Well, nursing is obviously the biggest player here, given the sheer volume of nurses employed in our region and the outsized influence within the healthcare market. At the end of the day, you can circle nurses as the number one job here for overall impact. But there are several other job titles as well, as I mentioned. I want to highlight five of them just to give you a few examples across the workforce spectrum. Surgical technicians have an 18% vacancy rate. These are folks who assist with surgical procedures. They may help prepare patients, prepare the operating room with the correct surgical instruments, and may even assist during the operation in some instances. Respiratory therapists have a 16% vacancy rate. And next to nurses and obviously physicians, respiratory therapists were very much on the front lines treating hospitalized COVID patients. And it's been a very high stress job during the course of the pandemic for the last 2+ years. Medical assistants have an 18% vacancy rate, and we're all, you know, fairly familiar with that role the medical assistants play. We usually interact with them frequently during routine doctor visits and checking vitals and whatnot. Pharmacy technicians, another well-known job title with an 11% vacancy rate. Again, I'm sure all of us are familiar with that role. You go to the pharmacy, you have a prescription to fill, you typically interact with either the pharmacist itself or the pharmacy tech there. Now, we only collect data on health system pharmacy techs, not retail pharmacy techs, but it's probably safe to assume that retail pharmacies are likely experiencing similar challenges trying to fill those pharmacy tech jobs. And finally, I want to highlight radiology techs, and they currently have a vacancy rate of 16%. If you're a patient needing an X-ray, the radiology tech is typically the individual actually working the equipment to help you with their X-ray, and then they'll pass the film on over to a radiologist to read. But it's important to note that the radiology tech position is a sort of pipeline gateway to the more advanced imaging positions. So a good deal of radiology techs in their careers, they'll ultimately upskill and move into more advanced imaging roles, such as CAT scan techs, mammography techs, MRI techs, ultrasound techs, you get the idea. Mm-hmm. And there's a possible domino effect in play here. So when we currently have a shortage in radiology techs, which we very much do, there then becomes a potential risk down the line of that shortage cascading into having future shortages in some of our other advanced imaging roles.
And Julie, on the flip side, are there jobs where the vacancy levels remain low? Did we lose you, Julie?
I can answer that question, actually, Lucy.
Okay.
Yeah, Jason would probably be better on that one. Thanks.
Okay.
There are certainly some jobs where the vacancy rates are low. If you recall that 5% vacancy rate threshold that I referenced earlier, we do have jobs that are at or even below that 5% rate. Nuclear medicine techs, for example, they have a vacancy rate less than 3%. And year in and year out, it's fairly low, as it's a very stable job in healthcare. Some of our therapy jobs also have low vacancy rates. I did mention respiratory therapists with a high vacancy rate, but physical therapists, physical therapy assistants, occupational therapists, speech therapists, they all right now have vacancy rates in the 3-5% range. So while we do have widespread challenges, there are at least some jobs where we're currently in pretty good shape overall.
Gotcha. And Julie, I'm sorry. So why do you think the jobs that are experiencing the most vacancies are at that point?
That's a great question. And as a nurse and a nurse leader, I can speak most confidently about nursing. And there's been a lot written and several studies done about this during the pandemic and continuing now. And then, of course, I have my own personal experience here in Cincinnati and working with the other chief nursing officers. But the number one thing I would say is the pandemic workload and the stress and burnout around that. You know, couple that with some of the political things that were going on at the time, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, the acuity of the first couple variants was very high. We saw a lot of deaths. People were scared for themselves and their families, and yet they came to work every day and took care of our community. So that stress, though, lingers and has caused some burnout and compassion fatigue. So we're working to try to mitigate that. Another thing, you know, Hope already mentioned retirements. The average age of the nurse nationally is about 52 years old. Last year, there are some sources that indicate that we may have lost over the last 2 years, 1.2 million nurses, and we have about 4.3 million in the United States. So lots of nurses retiring. Another thing that we're starting to see a lot more of in healthcare, and this is very well documented, is violence against healthcare workers. That comes from there's verbal abuse all the way to, we've heard about some of the shootings in the country related to healthcare where healthcare workers were involved. So the safety concerns that are on the staff and feeling valued by the community and by their employers is an issue. And then also we're continuing to grow services with that baby boomer aging population. The consumption of healthcare is continuing to grow. And so we need more and more staff. And we knew that we were going to have a nursing shortage anyway prior to the pandemic, just because of the baby boomer population aging. So all of that, I think, is coming together to create the perfect storm.
We did get an emailed question from Amy. Amy asks, she said, please ask about all the new hospitals being built. I live in Middletown, and over the last 25 years, there's been a boom in building new hospitals. The question might be that, you know, is part of the challenge with filling all these positions that there are more positions with all these new hospitals. Hope, do you have thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, and Julie, maybe chime in here too, but my thoughts are that much of that has to do with meeting people where they are, that they're continuing to add additional ways for this growing population, especially of boomers who, as their aging increases, their needs increase, to connect into healthcare. Not every one of those facilities offers every service that we're used to a traditional hospital offering. So often you go there for your more upfront care, and then if it's severe enough, you might be transferred to the main hospital. But again, it does increase the number of positions that they need to operate. There's economies of scale when it's all happening under one roof, even as far as flexibility to cover shifts. Julie, do you want to add anything on that?
I would agree with you completely. I think that aligns with my last point and the fact that there's a growth in the need for services. And so we are trying to meet people where they live and make it convenient for them. Yeah, it's pretty much related to growth.
And Julie, what kinds of interventions are needed to address this problem with these vacancies? Is there a single thing that can make a big difference, or is it just a lot of moving parts that all need to be addressed?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think there is a single thing or a single solution. And I read about this constantly. The entire country is trying to figure out the best thing to do. But I think, you know, what we're doing in this area is we're using a lot of temporary labor, which I mentioned earlier, to try to bridge that gap and keep our services available to our community. We've also done a lot of compensation changes, bonuses, premium pay, those types of things to incent our current staff to work more and pick up extra time, also to recruit additional people. And then, you know, we've done a lot of things around wellness in the workforce. Things like serenity spaces, wellness rooms for our staff to rest and relax and become more resilient while they're working. At the Christ Hospital, we've done resilience training for our frontline staff leaders. There's things like code lavenders. We use pet therapy for our staff. We enhanced our mental health benefits using storytelling and all types of other things to help with mental health for our staff.
Thank you, Julie. I'm sorry I have to stop you there. Okay. I've been talking with Health Collaborative Workforce Innovations Director Hope Arthur, Health Collaborative Senior Manager for Business Intelligence Jason Bubenhofer, and Vice President and Chief Nursing Officer at the Christ Hospital, Julie Holt. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May.